I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 492. God of War. I can't even. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello, friends. Hello, sister.
Well, hello, sister. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good right now. It's kind of ridiculous. I got coffee in my cup. I got my man, I got my dog, I've got video games. I started playing something this week. We're just going to get into it. Playing something this week. And here's the thing. When I say this, none of y'all are going to believe me. But again, remember, I make gamer resolutions to, you know, step outside of my normal box. And while I haven't turned on Forza anything yet, I have both of them.
I don't think you're gonna, and it's okay.
It's a resolution, and, you know, hey, I still got plenty of time left in 2016 to make it happen, okay? But I did, complete one, okay? Okay, I'm playing League of Legends. I'll let that sink in.
I was very shocked when she told me this. In fact, I think the first thing out of my mind was, what?
No, the first thing you said was, get the fuck out of here. And then you said, you don't fucking play Eve. inside joke callback. Mayor Young, so we love good. You. That was such a
That was such a good day. That was a good evening. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, go back in the archives and try to find that one in all 400 episodes.
That was a
funny time. We need to have Mayor Young back on the show. It's always fun to have him on the show. But
he's our brother from another mister.
Brother from another mother.
Both.
You do sister from a different mister, brother from another mother, because they want to rhyme.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Oh, rhymed with me. Poet didn't know it. Fat beats. I need a soundboard just so I can throw World Star sound off.
I honestly feel like air horns are going to be like that staple in my life that I don't need but can't live without.
No,
kind of like an infinite bag of Cheetos. Like, you know you shouldn't eat the whole bag, and the bag is infinite, so you can never eat the whole bag.
Hold on.
Like,
don't even get me started on the infinite bag of Cheetos. But speaking of Cheetos, did you hear, like, we're all over the place.
Oh my god, the fucking Burger King mac and cheese bullshit.
The mac and Cheetos, yes. Okay, you know, they're only in California right now, but they are
going to roll. That is some messed up fucking bullshit.
Wait, they are going to roll that shit nationwide. Do you understand? Like, as soon as I saw that, I literally was at work, and it came across my Facebook feed. And I called over one of my coworkers, and I was like, yo, do you see this right here? And her face just, like, dropped. And she's like, do we have a Burger King near us? I'm like, not close enough, because these are only in California right now. I was like, but do you understand? This is how I die. Like, this is the thing. Like, when this is the thing that kills me. Okay, so if you guys are not aware, Burger King right now is testing a new snack?
I don't know. It's
foodstuffs? We'll call it a foodstuffs, because it's a foodstuffs. Okay? Where they basically are doing mac and cheese. Okay, so put that first in your brain. Burger King mac and cheese.
Well, see, when I think mac and cheese, I just think about my mac and cheese.
Or my mac and cheese. I don't make it often, but it's, I will give you this, sis. Your mac and cheese is slightly better. I think I put too much cheese in my roux at the beginning, so I gotta work on that. Because I like my mac and cheese real cheesy with onions, and I like to use panko breadcrumbs.
See, I don't like to do crumbs.
I like to do crumbs on the top. I like a little extra crunch on the top.
See, that's why I put Parmesan cheese, so you can make a cheese crust.
I do the Parmesan too, but it only gets lightly crusted. I like a nice, good crunch. I do like it to be a little more casserole-y. So mine is good. I'm like, but for like family affairs and things like that, where not everybody is into the panko breadcrumbs, your mac and cheese is like the bomb. And your mac and cheese is also the bomb. All right. So anyway, Burger King, mac and cheese, first thought. But then let's take it another level. Let's wrap it in basically Cheetos dust. So it's like fried mac and cheese. But it's,
you're making my
it's
stomach
bread
turn.
That they, the outside crusting thing agent that they use. Is it breadcrumbs? It's Cheetos dust. So it basically is like a Cheeto filled with mac and cheese, which is why they call it mac and Cheetos. It just, it's that again. That's how I die. That's how I die, guys.
You know, I can't say that I'm surprised about this, and this is why, because a bit ago they were doing stuff with Doritos, like right after Taco Bell actually kind of hit it out of the park. With and I'm gonna say this right now that I still, even with Bloco out there and Chipotle out there, like I still every once in a while
look
like to get
nothing,
me some T&B.
Look, there's nothing like a Taco Bell taco. Like I prefer the burritos because of the burritos that I enjoy at Chipotle. Okay, and Bloco does have some like really nice rice and their beans. Okay, but there's nothing like a Taco Bell taco. And they're also mad cheap. You can get
right.
a box of tacos
like,
for like $6. That's 12 tacos, dude. You're not going to eat 12 tacos. You got to find people to help you take down this taco box. It is very economical. And also yummy. Ain't nothing wrong with a TB. Sometimes you got to make a run for the border, baby. And they're not sponsoring us, but they really should. Okay, but anyway.
But I'm just saying.
Mac and Cheetos.
Like,
we're all gonna die.
But T&B, like, was super smart with, like, their freaking, like, Dorito taco shell.
Well, that just
like,
made sense.
Putting some shave, right. Putting some shavings on top, but not, like, injecting shit into other shit. So.
You gotta be careful
and then,
when you put shit into other shit, because sometimes those profiles don't work together.
And like,
but seriously though, mac and Cheetos is gonna be bomb. Like you know,
no,
this, right?
No, it's
yeah,
not.
It is. It is.
No.
It is, Panda.
No.
Like you can try to fight it, but here's the thing:
no.
You're gonna taste one and be
no.
like, "Oh,
nope, I'm not.
Shit,
not putting that abomination in my mouth."
Yeah, you are.
Nope.
Because we're gonna have. Some
I would.
On a podcast.
I would rather lick.
Careful
a,
now.
A,
careful now.
I'd rather.
Careful.
I would rather lick a BK hot dog. That has fallen on the floor for like 8 seconds that a kid has thought about stepping on and then like lightly
Panda.
Kicked it with the front of
Panda.
His open toe shoe.
Panda.
No.
Panda. That's extreme.
No.
You
no.
can try to fight it, but it's actually going to
no, I'm not.
Be good.
No. No.
It's so
no.
ghetto. That's how you know it's
no.
going to be good.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's how you know it's going to be good.
No, thank you.
Because somebody
no,
in the Boogie
you.
Down used to make this, and we're like, yo, we should make this in the restaurant. And they tried it, and they're like, oh, we should try this for real.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have been the kind of person who has bashed up pretzels and has coated her chicken in pretzels. I've done that. And I've also done
it's
that with Doritos.
It's a coating. For your mac and cheese.
No,
it's
no.
not like they actually hollowed out a Cheeto and put it in there.
No,
it's just the cheese dust that they put on Cheetos.
Here's my problem. Here is my problem. Have you ever gone to a fast food joint that had decent mac and cheese?
Oh, well, I don't know
all.
About the mac and cheese being
the
good.
The mac and cheese is going to
yeah.
suck.
I don't know
and
about the mac and cheese being
Cheetos
good.
With the crap mac and cheese.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's Kraft Mac.
Taco,
I don't
taco
know if it,
cheese.
I don't know if it's Kraft Mac. We are like, talking about Burger King, so it might be that local superstore mac
like,
and cheese. Yeah, I don't know about that, but we will definitely if it comes
out
this way.
I will not
give it a shot. Don't listen to her, guys.
You can eat
a shot.
You can have all the mac and Cheetos.
We're gonna.
I'll be over here with my BK hot dog right next to a cat box.
Ew.
Yeah.
You nasty.
Like, I'm not going to dip it in the cat box.
I'm done with this conversation. I'm done with this conversation. Let's move on.
That's the reaction I have over mac and Cheetos.
No. You just hating because it's not your mac and cheese. All right, so anyway.
I'm hating because it sounds disgusting.
All right, so moving on. Like, literally, I saw an article, I think it was on Mashable or something like that, or Huntington Post, where it was like, basically, Burger King was like, hey, dog, I heard you like cheese, so we put some cheese on your cheese so you could cheese while you cheese. And I was like, that would be an amazing marketing campaign if they did it.
They won't.
Have the king come out and just hold up a bunch of signs, just be dropping them. But anyway, let's talk about games. Let's talk about games, guys. I'm going to talk about games. There's still so much. Like, we are still digging out from E3. There's more articles on our site. If you haven't checked them out yet, please make sure that you do. We got a bunch of stuff that's up on the site. KBD just put out some really good things on a couple of indie games that he played while he was at the Indiecade. You should definitely check those out. But I want to dig a little bit deeper into God of War. I want to talk a little bit more about God of War. I also want to talk about Mighty Number 9, because there's been a lot of conversation around Mighty Number 9. I have some thoughts as well. I have been hands-on with the game, so I got opinions. I'm going to share them. And then, Panda, I think you wanted to talk about Inside?
I did.
And we actually have a shared anime to talk about. So we're easing up on the E3 thing. It's not going to be a whole E3 episode. It's just going to be a mostly E3 episode with some anime on the back. So get ready to enjoy. I'm going to take a sip of this coffee. And we're going to jump right in with God of War because Kratos, I can't.
You can't what?
Even. I can't even. Okay, so after the reveal trailer that Sony dropped at their media briefing, which pretty much across the industry, everybody has agreed that Sony won the briefings, and I kind of to agree.
Hands down.
Like, just, I mean, Nintendo with all that Zelda gameplay, whoa, that looked great, but here's the thing, I'm still pissed because, like, we're not talking Zelda, we're not talking NX. Like, you're not talking about anything any then. And they're like, oh, no, actually, it turns out we're gonna have to talk about Zelda because if we don't, you guys probably aren't going to give us any more money for a while. So here's, 40 minutes of Zelda gameplay. And by the way, that's, like, a tenth of one hundredth, I guess that would be, of the world that's available for you to just, like, traverse. So, yeah, mic drop. But God of War. Now, guys, you know I'm a massive fan of the God of War chain. I have avoided putting the remastered collection on my PlayStation because I know I will replay all three games in order and probably multiple times, which would keep me from playing new stuff, which would keep me from having new stuff to talk with you guys about, especially because I've been doing such a good job of not talking about Destiny.
I know, because you don't really play it.
But I am going to get that new expansion pack DLC, whatever the fuck they're calling it, the iron whatever. I'm going to get it. So I will be back into Destiny at some point or whatever. But I have just been enamored with the God of War game ever since the trailer started at the beginning of the PlayStation briefing. So I've spent some time this week taking a look at some of the other trailers and reading up on the kind of origin of how Corey Balrog, who is still at the head of this game, and I think that he did a really good job picking up after Jaffe left of the franchise. Sure, there was a couple of, like, missteps and a couple of layers, levels, but that happens. And really wasn't interested in how Corey talked about how and why the story evolved the way it did. You know, a big thing that was inspiration for him is Corey himself became a dad, and, you know, that does change a person. So he really wanted to kind of make a story of Kratos coming out of, like, his ridiculously vindictive phase, because let's face it, he's gotten his quote-unquote revenge, right? Ares is dead and gone. He tried to come back, but we ended that shit with a big-ass old sword. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, Panda, but in the first game, the sword that he grabs that he uses to kill Ares, isn't it a big sword that, like, a statue of Athena that was acting as a bridge or something was holding?
I thought so, yeah.
So, like, throughout the games, Athena was always his aid against?
Yes.
Yeah.
In some capacity or not.
In some capacity, right. So, he ends Ares, okay, wipes out Hades, basically wipes out all the major and a few minor gods of Olympus. In the last game, he takes it to Zeus, even though Athena begs him not to. Damn near takes it to Athena and is like, look, girl, you've been helping me out. I appreciate you and all, but, like, you need to back up because I can fuck you up, too. And she's like, no, you can't.
I can fuck all your faces.
Okay. And we kill Zeus. And we fall off the cliff, which I told you he didn't die, because Kratos be falling off cliffs in damn near every God of War game.
Not dying.
He's
advancing. The body be falling over.
He do be falling over. He do be falling over. Like, that's what Kratos be doing. Wiped out some Titans. Okay? Kratos is a badass. But he got his revenge. So what happens? What is the reason to keep on existing after you've avenged the family that you lost? Right? I mean, because that was the whole impetus of him going after Ares. Wasn't because Ares, you know, gave him power, but because Ares tricked him into killing his wife and his daughter because he believed that that would just allow him to be his ultimate pawn and soldier if he'd had no connections to the mortal world. Ares fucked it up.
He did. He did,
okay,
though.
And so in this game, what we will explore is that Kratos does find another woman and does have a child. It's so cool. Like, if you have a chance, guys, if you haven't yet checked out the game, do a Google search for God of War. You'll actually see God of War: The Beginning. It's on the PlayStation blog, and it's a great, I think, collection of things. They've got this awesome image where they've got Kratos on one side with half of his face and his son on the other side with half of his face, and just like the artistry, and you can kind of see like some things that are in common with Kratos and his son in the way that his face is structured. The detail is really kind of amazing, and to have a game where, you know, Kratos's brutality is still going to be there, but really the story is going to be focusing on Kratos imparting his more of the survival and the need for survival and the need for protecting yourself and to not be scared to protect yourself, to face those things head on and passing that on to another generation, I think is actually going to be cooler than you think. Plus, if you think, oh, but it sounds kind of pussy because now I'm, like, taking care of my kid and, like, I'm a single dad or whatever, this is not, like, reality TV from that battle. And that's not even like a boss battle. That's just like a quick time battle that pops up. That Norse goat god thing.
Right.
When I say goat god thing because I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's not a god, but I'm going to call it the goat god
Seder?
Thing. Sure. We'll go with that. Why not? It's not though, because
like,
he wasn't
a
horse. But he wasn't a horse though. He had just like goat ram ear. Anyway, that big dude that Kratos takes down, that's not even like a boss. That's like a mid-level boss.
So okay. It's kind of like some of the angels that Bayonetta fights during her game.
Yeah, some of the upper angels. Yeah, but the mid-level ones, not the end-level ones.
Right.
You know, and that battle, like, was crazy. Crazy. Gory and... It immediately took me back to the things that I loved about God of War. You know, just how brutal Kratos is when he's fighting. How fast everything moves. You know, the old school slow down quick time. When you actually pull it off so you get to slowly see what you're about to do. Like when he rips that dude's horn off and shoves it through his own head. Like, come on, dude. Come on. That's like my homie Kratos right there, dog. Ah.
You've been waiting for him to come back.
I've been waiting for him to come back, and he's back. And I think that a lot of people are going to enjoy this outing. I have a feeling that this is probably going to be the first God of War, which it shouldn't be, because it might not make a hell of a lot of sense for people, but I do think that this is probably going to be the first God of War game for a chunk of people, and it's going to set a bar. I really think it is. Now, whether or not that's going to be a positive one is yet to be seen, but I will say this. I was not disappointed in 3. I know a chunk of people were, but I was not. I thought that 3 really played well. It felt really balanced. I didn't have, you know, any hiccups with running through the game as far as gameplay or camera or things like that. The only hiccup I had was my own user error, which is I didn't realize, like, when you're beating Zeus, spoiler, when you're beating Zeus in the face into a bloody pulp and the blood is splurting on the screen, I didn't realize that the game was just waiting for you to stop beating him. Because the prompt is always on the screen to hit the circle to punch him. So I punched Zeus's face for a good straight 15 minutes before I finally got tired and was like, he's got to be dead by now. And then I stopped. But I still, like, no joke, I straight up was hitting that button for 15 minutes. And I thought, wow, like, Kratos is really, 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 really mad at Zeus. Wow. And then finally I was like, I can't do this anymore. So if he pops back up and I gotta beat him back down, I will, but I have to stop hitting this button. And so then it did the cutscene. It went to a thing. I was like, oh, I probably could have stopped that, like, 14 minutes ago. Basically, once the screen gets completely covered with blood, you can stop. I didn't know that.
I feel like they left that open so that if you really had your issues with Zeus throughout the whole franchise, that you as a player
I'm not exaggerating. 15 minutes. I was just like, punch, 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 punch. I was like, he's got, like, at this point, like, I've broken my own hand twice. Like, come on, Kratos. Like, oh, nope. All right, punch, 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 punch.
It's like if Jon Snow didn't punch Ramsay Bolton for 15 minutes and his face got
exactly,
fucked up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Spoilers.
You're a little late on that, Panda. All right. Hey. So, anyway, I know that you guys know I'm excited for this game. That's nothing new. I do think that there's going to be a very rich story. My thing about it is I don't know if Linda Hunt is going to be back doing the narration, because remember, she was Gaia, we learned.
Right.
And I don't believe that Gaia was a Titan that survived. I don't believe that any of the Titans survived the battle with Olympus. So I don't know who's going to do the narration, because remember, you know, one of the things that's always been killer about God of War has been the narration, and I have loved Linda doing the narration for all the games. She had, her voice just, you know, it. The narrator is a character in the game, and I do feel like the game does need that character.
And don't be mad, bro, because while I completely and utterly agree that I feel like the franchise strongly deserves and needs a narrator on the outside who apparently is also kind of on the inside, so it has this really interesting duality of knowing and not knowing. But granted, the fact that it's Gaia also ties in because, you know, they're kind of on her, and it's kind of happening on her. So she's kind of the perfect character to be above it and in it at the same time. So, like, nice nuances and stuff like that. Who's to say that what we saw at E3 with the little bit of the playableness that they showed, that this isn't just like the tutorial for the story, and we're actually going to be little Kratos, who I'm just going to call him like Stuart. I think Stuart or like Finnegan. Yeah, Finnegan. He has red hair.
Finnegan.
So he's like Finnegan O'Reilly Kratos the first.
Finnegan O'Reilly.
And like he's all grown up and he's kind of a badass. And, like, he's just trying to carry on the legacy that Kratos has built of, like, bringing down all gods. And, I mean, maybe for a while he's doing it with Kratos. Maybe at some point some god thinks he's badass enough to kidnap Kratos. And then, you know, Finnegan, Kratos the third, second, whatever, gets real angry and has to tap into that rage. And then he finds out he's a lot more like his father than he ever could have thought.
I think that makes a lot of sense, because, I mean, you know, one of the things that you see in the trailer that they showed of the game at the briefing was he definitely is a kind, gentler spirit. He, like, doesn't have that killer instinct yet. You know, we talked about having to follow through killing the deer and him not being able to do it and needing Kratos' guiding hand to make that happen. I do think that if they go that route, that this game is a very good way to, you know, introduce us to the next generation of Kratos, if you will. Mm-hmm. But that Kratos, if he's going to carry the name, has to, and I don't even know what Kratos' last name is, because I believe that's just his
first name. Smith.
It's not Smith. Yes. He's a Spartan. Okay, so.
Smithos.
You asshole. But
what?
If he's going to carry Kratos' name and into future games, I do need that character to have some brutality. Like, you can't have the name Kratos and be a pussy in any way. That's all I'm saying.
Like, we can't be like, oh yeah, Kratos, you and can, act you like can a
have,
Carmine.
You can have soft feelings. Why are you always hating on Carmine? you can have soft feelings. Like when Kratos had the thing with Pandora, I thought that was so sweet. Like, when he was desperately trying to save her from disappearing.
I would love to see some fragment of Pandora somewhere in this. Like, well, maybe.
The thing. That's the thing, is that it could be. In the whole Kratos starting another family, you know, okay, so here's my thought, right? Because take a good look at his son.
I mean, he be looking a little bit like Pandora. I ain't gonna
be lying. He looks a little bit like Pandora. And so, like...
Yeah, but if he's sitting there putting his dick in Pandora,
no,
there's a problem.
No, he didn't. Like, Pandora disappeared. She went ephemeral. Because remember, she was part of the hope that returned to the world. Okay? That had returned to the world a while ago. Okay? But she went ephemeral. Okay, so Kratos can't fuck Pandora. Nor would he. He spent way too much time protecting her and getting attached to her like a kid. Because I think that partly Pandora reminded him a little bit of his daughter.
The little one that he had.
Right. But that's one of the reasons why I was like, people, take a good look at the image of Kratos and his son on the PlayStation website. Because, and then go back and take a look at Pandora. He does have, like, especially, like, around the eyes, at least to me. And maybe I'm seeing what I want to see. I'll admit that sometimes I do that. But damned if he doesn't look a little bit like Pandora. I'm just saying. And I'm not super saying.
You're just saying.
I'm just saying. I can't be having that super saiyan level power. Y'all can't handle that. You just not ready. Y'all not ready for it. So, that's what I have to say about God of War. I will definitely be talking about this. I'm going to write a piece about it on the website with some more of my thoughts. But definitely take a look at the interview with Kari Balrog and take a look at the video that's on the site. Like, this game is really, it's going to be something. And here's the thing. Like, nobody has said anything yet about, you know, whether or not it's going to have a VR component. Because VR is going live for Sony this holiday. I don't know if the world is ready for VR Kratos world.
I'm not.
But I want to try it if it is available. I do want to try it. So, yeah. God of War, gonna be bananas awesome. Gonna be totally worth it. I will more than likely get a collector's edition. Please, Jesus, let them have a collector's edition so I could get the collector's edition, because I will get the collector's edition. Just in case you didn't get it, I'm going to get the collector's edition of this.
Yeah.
And I'm playing League of Legends, so...
I'm not coming at you, bro.
I like you. Marksman. I like to be a marksman! But I mostly just play bot games because I don't like to play against people because they wreck me. Because I just started.
Yes. Because you a noob.
I'm so noob. I got that fresh noob. I got that fresh noob coat of paint. I got that noob lube. I'm like, woo! Noob.
Whee!
Fresh meat. Fresh meat. So yep. I just play bot games because I don't feel bad when I lose to an AI. And I've only lost one time because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. But I figured it out the next game. Figured it out the next day. So I played at 5-on-5, bro. I played at 5-on-5. I run bot! Alright, I'm good.
Alright, you done?
I think so.
Alright.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you won't catch me in the mid. You won't catch me in the mid.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
So I want to talk a little bit about Inside, which, you know, we saw at E3.
We've seen at E3. Okay, we saw it last E3.
I know, but, like, I mean, I enjoyed Limbo a lot. I was really late to the Limbo game, and I'm not just talking about the actual game where you have to, like, balance, because I ain't got no kind of balance on my feet, so, like, that game just sucks. But Limbo initially, which I believe was made and developed by, I think, Playdead, I think it was, when I finally got on board with Limbo, I was like, wow, it's so deep, and it's so eerie, and, like, it really plays on the psychological aspect of terror and fight or flight and things not being what they look like at first glance and perception and stuff like that. So when they were all like, hey, by the way, we've been, you know, a year later, we've been working on this other game that kind of sits in that limbo, like kind of subcategory folder, but it's a little bit different, but we think you're going to like it. And then they showed us Inside. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Because, I mean, there's, since Limbo, which I think took a whole lot of awards for even for being an indie game, for outstanding visuals, great story, great mechanics for the universe that they were in, I think we saw a lot of replication come out after that, because then there was I think it was like the Unfinished Swan, which also had that black and white monotone type of, you know, visual exploration that actually had a much deeper impact on a character, and we saw a lot of games that presented something in a really simple perspective, but it just opened up to this big fucking world of so many other things playing on it. So for those who don't know much about Inside, very much like Limbo, it is a puzzle platformer in which we, the player, manipulate a character, which I think kind of looks masculine, in a space, in a very surreal environment. However, I believe the difference between Limbo, which was 2D-ish, with like a little bit of 3D in terms of setting and background, Inside, we're actually going a little bit further in that 3D immersive environment. So, ooh, yay on that. But yeah. But anyway, we play this boy who is navigating this space. And he sees, essentially, that there are these forces that are doing experiments on human bodies. And I think you start off, like, in a foresty area where he starts seeing these dark figures doing this stuff. And they also seem to be hunting him or you for some reason.
Okay.
And you find yourself at some point at this building that kind of looks like a factory. And that's where you see all the experiments and your character's trying to find a way to stop the experimentation. I feel like there's going to be a lot more to it than that, but granted, these are the people who made Limbo, so you know that there's more going on beyond that. And I only bring it up because I believe it releases at some point this week. I believe it comes out on the 29th.
I believe it does.
For the Xbox One, and then I think, I want to say 2 weeks after that, we're going to see it for Windows. So, you know, if you were about Limbo before and you wanted something to sate that palate, I think this is going to do it over and beyond. Not to mention, I think this is going to be a great way to re-inspire those who create that, you know, there are still so many stories that can be told in such a simple setting. And you don't necessarily have to rely too heavily on graphics and FMV and all of that to tell a great story. And I mean, Playdead hasn't been wrong the first time. So, I mean, I can't imagine them not taking this and shooting this right out of the park. But I'm honestly probably going to get this on review on like drop day, because I believe in it that much. So, not to mention, surprisingly enough, it's on the Unity. Like, they run it on Unity and it actually looks and feels kind of good. From everyone who I've seen play it, who have all been kind of like, not what I would have expected to come out of Unity, which I thought Unity makes everything look wet.
Dude, it doesn't make everything look wet, but, I mean, it can. It's all in how you use it and what you want to do with it. But here's the thing. I think Inside looks absolutely stunning. I will probably watch you play it.
Yeah, it might bother you a little bit, I think,
Yeah, so I will probably watch you play it.
I mean, apparently the reception, people have been really, really good, like, have really been anticipating this game. I wouldn't say that the hype is, like, super strong, like, God stabbed me in my throat because I can't take the hype anymore.
No, but it's definitely not that level, but it is hype, and it looks like a great game. I just, you know, it's not the kind of game that I would go out myself and get and play, but I would enjoy watching other people play it.
So, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to watching you play it.
So, and I think there are plans to push it outside of Microsoft and computers. I think we're going to see this on in Macworld, which would be kind of nice. I don't know if we'll see this for Sony, though, however, but we'll see.
We shall see. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you're definitely going to see it inside for Windows 10, and you'll see it on the X station. That's what we call it. I'm going to call it everything the X station, the Y station, the N station. But you will definitely see it on the Xbox for sure. I think that it's the type of game that ultimately you will see everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean you will see it on the PlayStation, you will see it on mobile.
And I really wanted just to, like I said, briefly talk about this because at one point,
Limbo.
It is.
It'll be everywhere. It'll be one place for a certain amount of time, and then it will be the other places.
It will totally slowly infect the world. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up today is because I can already tell you guaranteed for next week that I am talking extensively about Days Gone. Ooh. Like, all the days long.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I knew you were going to be on that, like, the proverbial stink on the poop.
Well, because I didn't want to be like, oh my god, my first reaction is it's totally this, this, and this. And the really funny thing about it is there was a comic that I read, that also is very, very similar to stuff that's going on in Days Gone. And I can't remember what the comic was, so I'm like, I want to find this. So, like, I've been on the search because, like, I literally remember, like, a wanderer, like, on the streets, like, going from area to area, scavenging, trying not to be too involved with people, and, you know, trying to do all this other stuff to kind of fuck people's shit up. And I'm like, I want to have all the references in place because, like, it hits on way too many notes for it to be coincidence, and they may be using this as reference to have built this, which I think would be amazing because that comic was so fucking good. And so I'm just doing my research on it, but I plan to bring it to you guys next week with all my fucking notes on my little post-it notes and my outline, and I'm going to be like 100% fucking prepared.
Wow. So that's like, why I know that you're hype about a game, because you prep. Like, you don't prep unless you are, like, about to go in on
like,
this.
Like, I'm prepared to defend whatever shit you're going to sling at me, because I did my fucking research.
Yeah. And you only do research when you are, like, really into a game. So, guys, she's about to bring it next week. So, be prepared for that. Okay, so here's the deal. I still have more stuff that I want to talk about, for sure.
Okay.
E3-wise. So, we're probably going to continue to bring some nuggets out of our back pocket. But the big, big coverage for us for E3 is ending. It is ending with our best of E3. So, be on the lookout on the website for that coming this week, where everybody on the team is submitting what they believe is their best of E3, whether it's a game or peripheral.
Death Stranding. Norman Reedus, Death Stranding.
You know, but Panda's actually going to write the damn thing
Kojima is included
in the post and the Kojima gallery with our best of awards for best of E3 from all of the team. So be on the lookout for that dropping sometime this week. once everybody
best Norman Reedus played by Norman Reedus is Norman Reedus for Death Stranding.
Moving on. We have a couple more things to talk about. I need to talk about Mighty Number 9, guys. I wanna have a real
dialogue. Thing that looks like Mega Man.
Well, it should, because Keiji Inafune made it. That's kind of why.
Oh.
Remember, there was a whole Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Because Capcom didn't want to do a successor to Mega Man.
Right.
And Keiji couldn't do Mega Man himself, so he went to Kickstarter and was like, I'm going to make a game. It's going to be like Mega Man, but not Mega Man.
But people were sure,
like, here's Mega my Man. Money. And so
make Mega Man.
That's how Mighty Number 9 was created. And it was delayed, because remember, we went hands-on with it at E3 last year.
Yep.
Because Devolver was working with KG on distributing the game. And it was a Kickstarter. And then they jumped in and made shit tons of money on the Kickstarter. Way above and beyond what they wanted to make the game. Had some perks out there and stuff. KBD even tried it. And when we went hands-on with it last year, everyone was quick to let us know, like, this is an alpha build, so, like, there are going to be bugs, there are going to be things that break. And we know this, going into E3, that most of the stuff that you're going to see is super, super early build. Those kiosks go down a lot. There's a lot of bug in the code. Like, people were debugging things and rerunning builds, like, 15 minutes before the show floor opened. Like, to expect that there are going to be some bugs. But it did feel a little bit weird that they were, like, pointing out that there were going to be bugs before we jumped in. But I really chalked it up to, yeah, because it's an alpha build. And it's a build for E3. They probably just compiled this shit, like, 5 minutes before I walked in. It's all good. It's all good. So I'm not going to knock the game for too many of those bugs and that wonkiness. Because it'll all be stuff that they clean up before they release the game. Game comes out. Now, I have played the game.
Okay.
A couple people on our team have played the game. Some people that we respect in the industry have played the game. There are a lot of people who say the game flat out sucks. I will say this. These are my thoughts. I am not with the majority here. The game doesn't suck. However, it does have issues, which take away from the fun of the game. So I'm going to back up. When I went hands-on with the game a year ago at E3, some of the bugs that I saw were like, some enemies triggered at times when they weren't supposed to trigger, before you entered the area completely to get to the point in the level where you could have an upper hand and actually take them out. There were times where you would be firing your weapon, like hitting the button for that to do it, and it would not fire the weapon.
Oh.
Right. So you would just take it out of the butt.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. It is a side-scroller, and, there are times when you get to an area that once you pass a point, like you're in the area, you're in the boss fight. And there are times where it would act like you were in the boss fight when you weren't in the boss fight and you couldn't go back to like get a power up or things like that. So a lot of mechanical things that made it difficult to actually succeed. And it is a frustrating thing because it is a true, game like Mega Man. So you die, you start back at the beginning of the level unless you've hit the midpoint checkpoint. And for a lot of gamers, that can be very frustrating because they haven't grown up with games like that. Most people are used to having a save point. So I die, I go back to my save point. Nah, bro.
No.
Nah, bro. You go back to the beginning. Welcome to arcade, motherfucker. Old school! But gameplay does have some issues. Now, it is not a shit game. If you can get past those issues, and get your timing right, it plays like a Mega Man game. It plays like an arcade, side-scroller. And for some people, that's a real enjoyable experience. Like, I don't hate the game. I recognize the bugs that are in there. And Keiji Inafune even said, like, yes, there are problems, and I completely own that, and we'll work on them to fix them. But, there are a lot of people that feel very entitled because, they ponied up money to make this happen. And, hey, guess what? It wasn't the great experience that you sold me on with your Kickstarter. And I think that there's a lot of people who just went, like, Keiji Inafune's making a game. Here's my money. Well, you need to take some responsibility in the here's my money without doing your research. Like, let's be honest, guys. Most Kickstarted games, big Kickstarted games, okay, have not done really well. Like, game Kickstarting outside of, you know, board game Kickstarting hasn't had a real great success rate.
I agree.
Okay. You know, look at Shenmue, then look at that fantasy game that never happened, that people poured millions into, and it was the first Kickstarter thing that Kickstarter actually weighed the company, give everybody their money back. You know, I think the only ones who have really been successful have been Double Fine, and that's because they were an existing studio to begin with. So they know how to, business-wise, correctly, I think, use the money towards the resources that they need to deliver the product that they need to deliver. But Double Fine has been the only one that has been successful. I mean, do we need to talk about the Shenmue Kickstarter? Should we talk about the Shenmue Kickstarter? Maybe. Has anybody seen anything come out of the Shenmue Kickstarter except salty feelings?
Nope.
I think not. I did not kickstart Mighty No. 9, and it's just because I'm not convinced right now that kickstarting a video game is going to work and is going to deliver something well. I think that the only one that I did do was Amplitude.
Yeah, I did it.
And I think that Amplitude had a good Kickstarter, but not a fantastic one. Like, I'm just now getting my perks. Cause I backed it at the higher level. So I got my vinyl and that's up on my wall, and I got my t-shirt, and my favorite thing is that I got a box case with the original, reprint of the original Amplitude artwork for PS2. Ooh. So I actually have a PS2 Amplitude case now. Not that I have the physical disc, cause I did the digital, download. But the vinyl's nice because it has pressed on it all the music that's in the game, from the artists that are in the game, which is cool. And I refuse to open it, so right now it's mounted in plastic on my wall, in the shade, so I can see it looking all pretty and things like that. But I just got those perks this last week, and I, you know, backed that, and we went to the party where we got to play it last year's E3. You know, so it is, you know, a little ways down the ways to finally be getting those perks. But I got them. So it's all good. But I don't think that video game kickstarting is going well. I think kickstarting to make, you know, documentaries about games or to make board games or things of that nature, and especially like mangas and graphic novels and comics and things like that, I think that it can definitely work for that and work well. But I just don't think that the video game one works for it. It takes too long to dev a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially for a console. It just takes too long to dev a game, and there are so many things that can go wrong. And if you don't have the structure behind you to know how to properly allocate those resources coming in, man, oh man, can you end up with some really bad things? And I think that, you know, Mighty No. 9 is just a case study in what not to do. Because they pushed back the game release so they could fix a lot of things, and they didn't address all of them. And I think it's because they felt the pressure that we have to finally come out with this fucking game, because people have been waiting now forever, as far as how people feel. And we've got Keiji and Funi, and, like, we have to deliver. So let's just fucking deliver, and hey, if it's not perfect, we'll fix it on the back end. And I think that that's the wrong way to go about it. You know, people complain about No Man's Land now being pushed back so many times, and I'm like, do not complain when people push back a game. Okay, they're pushing it back because it is not 100%. And I don't want somebody coming into market at, like, 89% when they know they're not at 100%. Because if you're delivering that 89%, the way that the gamers are probably going to run with it, they're going to feel like you gave it like a 50%. So, like, until it is perfect, until it is without major error, don't bring it to market. We're okay waiting if we know, hey, you got bugs and you're fixing it. Like, remember when BioShock first got pushed back? Like, they pulled out of PAX East, and we were like, what the fuck? And Ken Levine and his team were like, look, we're playing this game, and we realize it's not where it needs to be, and there are things, massive things that we need to retool, and we do not want to come to the market with a game that is subpar. So we're going to go back, and we're going to fix those things, because there are things with the story, and there are things with the gameplay that are just not right. So we hope that you guys will bear with us while we go back and we fix it. And we accepted that, because we were like, hey, like, it takes balls to be like, look, these things are wrong. They don't feel right. And we do not want you guys playing something and getting your money and it not being right. And we know that it could be right and it could be better. Okay? And the way that they took that story in Infinite, which was completely away from the way that they were going originally, is awesome. Okay? Because, like, originally, Booker never was old Booker DeWitt. Okay? He was more like this aristocratic, you know, douchebag. More like the tinkerer there, Fink.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh.
And that would have felt, like, completely wrong. And why? Yeah. You know, so there are, like, all kinds of things. Like, originally, Elizabeth was the main focus. And she was the main person that you played the game through, and you developed her powers up.
Oh, which would have been really fun.
And it felt really wrong. Like, it felt right when you did the DLC, and you went back to Rapture. That tear and that stuff felt right. Spoiler alert, where you learned the genesis of Would You Kindly, and set off the things that set off the original game. You know, you came full circle. Okay, that felt right. But that was all the stuff that they were fixing, because it just felt off balance, and it felt like there was a better story and something that would be more intriguing if they went the other way. And so they did. You know, and I think that we all agree that Infinite was better for it, because personally, in as far as BioShock games go, like, Infinite is the game for me. Like, I can go back and play Infinite again because it's just so deep and rich. And you know, I usually don't like games like that, but I fucking loved Infinite. And it was because the
story. I know you did. So... And you were waiting for me to finish it. Cause it
was, I know, so we could, like, talk about it. Because I was like, come on! That songbird fight, though. All right, so anyway. You have to put in the time and the effort to get your gameplay balanced with the story that you want to tell. Because I don't care what kind of game you have, there's always some measly thread of a story. Like, even in Broforce, there's a story. God save Miracle. Okay? Like, there's a reason for you to do what you're doing. And if you set the stage up right, that reason is going to resonate with somebody, and they're going to love the game for that reason. And then, if your gameplay is good and not frustrating, I don't get frustrated with a game if the reason that I can't get through a level is me. I get real fucking pissed with a game if the reason that I can't get through the level is because of a camera or a fucked up mechanic or misfiring AI. I get real fucking pissed because that's on you, bro. And I paid you to not fuck my situation, and you fucked my situation. So you better unfuck my situation, and, like, real quick. So I think that that's kind of where a big chunk of people are. They felt like, you know, I backed this thing. I've been waiting for this thing. I've been telling people about it. I've been hyping it. And then what you delivered to me knowingly is a mediocre experience. When you could have just said, nope, we're still not ready to ship. I know we've pushed this back a couple of times. We're going to push it back even more because it's not ready. But we're going to give you some perks first. So here's some t-shirts. Here's some extra stuff. And we'll let you play an alpha, and you can tell us what's breaking so we can figure it out and fix it. You do that, you got a community that's happy. But they didn't do that. So hopefully it's a learning experience. And they will fix it through downloads. And Mighty Number 9 will be a good game for the people that backed it. But I don't... It's not getting good press. So I don't think people who didn't back it are going to pick it up. Which is a shame. Because, you know, it is an adorable looking game. And it's not the worst piece of shit ever on the planet, E.T., but it's definitely, it definitely has issues that can be addressed. So let Devolver and let the team address those issues, and then don't give up on Mighty Number 9. Because if you like side-scrollers, side-scroller platform shooters, you definitely want to play it when it's fixed. So let's talk anime.
Oh my God, yes, please, thank you. I want to say a couple weeks ago, because I know last week was like a very E3 intensive show for us. And I remember you're going, well, before I end it, because you had promised talking a little bit about anime, that you had talked about several series. I don't believe this is one that you talked about, but we hung out after that, and you threw another one onto the list for my queue, which we watched a couple, so you're really good at, like, seeding the notion or inceptioning the thought into my brain. And I had come to visit, just to make sure you were cool and legit, and we started watching this anime that was on Crunchyroll called Big Order, which at first I had told you about
at the beginning of the season that you needed to watch. And you're like, yeah, because you don't listen to me until I either force feed you or somebody else tells you. You should watch that, too.
Yep. And sure enough, you were smart enough to force feed me, like, the first three episodes. And it was right, like you said, right up my fucking alley.
Told you.
And literally, I went home from those first three episodes and watched the other nine. So I got through, I think it was 10 or 12, but I got all the way through the season of Big Order. So in the series, you know, you have your main protagonist, and his name is Eiji. And I always say his name wrong, so I'm just going to call him Hiroshima, even though I know it's not, but that's what I call it. Thank you. So it's like Hiroshima, but not. And so he is in this universe, or the setting of the show is that there is this entity that is giving people the ability to get a wish granted. That wish then materializes into a form, an entity, that somehow kind of distorts, can kind of distort their wish into a method in which they could then get their wish. So you hear this girl talking at the beginning of the series, and she's like, you know, people's wishes are always deep-seatedly rooted into a personal desire of their own. Like, oh, I want to be famous, or oh, I want, like, there's always a personal agenda. It's never, like, it's never selfless. Like, there's always that little sliver.
That's not true.
It seems. Right, which we see in the series. But this is the understanding, which is, there's always some deep-rooted personal interest that fuels a wish. And she enjoys seeing what happens when people get this ability. And she's really focused on Eiji, our protagonist. And while she's talking, you see her, like, kind of asking him, like, what his wish is. And you see him slowly, piece by piece, word by word, like, my wish, and then it is, and then all of a sudden, the world just begins to fall to shit. And you're kind of like, and as you're watching it, you're kind of like, holy shit, did this kid just, like, ask for, like, the world to end? And you don't know. And for a good chunk of the first three episodes, he doesn't know. He doesn't remember what his wish was. And she's like, I can't wait for you to actually use your power. So this time I'm going to put a handicap on you because you did a doozy the last time.
Whoa. Got to take a step back. So when AG realizes that, you know, hey, my wish was the one that caused the great destruction, which wiped out like a shit ton of people.
Oh my God, a lot of people.
And he is like confronted with the need to use his power again, but he's terrified that it'll go out of order. Daisy is like, okay, well then give me your hand and I will cap your power. So I'm going to cap it at 1/10,000th of what it was before. So that'll keep you from going out of nutballs bag and blowing up the world. Okie dokie, okie dokie.
Okay, great.
She, like, pats him on the butt, like, all right, well, go be in order now. Go use your power.
You go do that thing. I'll be around.
But she does tell him, you know, before she does this, you know, as he's going on and on about his wish, she's like, AG, you misremember stuff, but here you go. I'll do this anyway. And that's a real important line. Yeah, we're going to spoil it for you, by the way.
It's extremely important.
So
My God.
From at this point, if you're interested at all in watching this anime, stop this podcast now and go watch it. And then come back to this point and then finish the episode, because we're going to spoil the shit out of it, because we've both finished it.
So anyway, a lot of the people who have survived this big destruction are really, really mad. For good reason.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people died.
A lot.
That's why it was called the Great Destruction.
Right. Like, people be pissed, loved ones. It did. So, and through the series, you see this order is this militant force is trying to find orders to try to keep them from, you know, using their abilities, because we don't know what they are, and they want to, like, capture them. And AG this whole time was like, I'm just trying to live life like a normal person. You know, I've got this. My sister's sick. She's like, she's got 6 months to live, and if I can, like, live out these next 6 months under this radar, and she can die.
Send my sister off in peace.
Then, right, exactly.
You know, whatever happens to me, then that's fine.
After that, it's fine. So, and like, and it's really, at first I was like, oh, this innocent relationship, brother and sister, blah, blah, blah. Nope. How endearing.
Nope.
It's really a lot more twisted than that.
Because they are brother and sister by marriage only.
Right, so they are not
Cage's
blood related.
Dad, Mary, Senna's mom.
Senna's mom.
And so then they became a family, but then the Great Destruction happened, and they believed their parents died, so it was just AG and Senna, and Senna was in the hospital all the time, and AG used to go to the hospital all the time to quote-unquote visit with her, but really it was just to get out of the house until he realized that Senna, like, really, really loved the fact that she had a brother that would come and spend time with her. So then he felt like a guilty asshole and was like, well, that's it. Well, everything I'm going to do is going to be for this girl because she is so sweet and so innocent, and I'm such an asshole for, like, using her, you know, illness in this way. And he felt a lot of guilt. And that then turned into something else.
Yeah.
Rochelle's not favorite thing. Although it's not really incest because they actually share no chromosomes or blood, whatever. But guess
but when
what
you
happened?
Live, but when you live under the same roof and you're living
and you're
under the guise of a
and
family.
She's a girl and you guys are together all the time. But she's not your sister. But she's your sister. But she's not your sister. At least in
but
anime, what ends up happening is y'all bone.
Yeah, it's really great because this series is really good.
It's really great. They bone, and it's really great. That was what you just said.
No, I'm just saying the series is really great because of how they set it up.
You didn't say
because
the series.
They could have like brought us into this, and I don't want to say inappropriate because really
they're young.
They're okay, but it's not like they're brother and sister.
But
it's not like. She's
blood.
Like, I miss dad. Do me, brother. Like, it's not like
that's just
stereotypical gross. I'm just saying, for anime standards, this was like not indecent in the way that we come to expect in a series. And they played it pretty close. So like, they left subtle hints,
like the twin-cest one. But
like, you know, oh, so you know, she knows he's coming. She fixes her hair, and then at one point, like the hand kind of went to the face. And I'm like, wait a minute,
and she curled her toes.
She did, like, brother, and like, I mean, it got a little intense. I mean,
that wasn't
we're
the intense one when they stripped each other's clothes off and boned.
No,
she had just been like
the first one for the toes. The toes for me were the first sign because. No, spoiler alert of my real life. That is a motion that I know.
Nope. Let's just go along. Let's move along.
That I know quite well. So when I saw that, I was like, "Aw, shit, she feeling it. She's feeling it."
Well, yeah, the toe curl thing was the thing that set it off. But anyway,
yeah.
So AG ends up being brought in as a scapegoat for a group that is attempting to overthrow
the
government because ultimately their goal is to actually get at this one guy who we learn is
kind of responsible for a lot of shit, and also
he's
spoiler alert.
For a lot of shit. Oh, we already
and
did
also,
the spoiler alert, so we don't need to say it anymore.
It's also AG's biological father.
Yeah, Hoshimiya. So as you go along in the series, you learn that with all these other orders that are out there, that there is one guy in charge of a. I would call shadow agency. They publicly are
that
known.
That he calls the public safety blah, blah, blah,
right.
When it's not really
and,
about
and
that.
They are a public group that is known to the world, but what they're actually doing is has nothing to do with safety. They are actually trying to open this gate. And this gate is basically a realm of simply conscious thought. And the
pure
gate,
mental.
Yeah.
Pure mental.
And the Dr. Hoshimiya, who is Senna and Eiji's dad, which they believe.
I think Gennai is his name.
Huh?
Gennai is his name.
Gennai Hoshimiya. And Gennai is the doctor who tried to open the gate in the first place. He created the Daisy system in order to connect people to what was on the other side of the gate in order to turn them into orders, in the hope of being able to find an order that could reopen the gate. Okay? And all he wants to do is to get the gate open, because supposedly there is a woman on the other side of this gate who can basically turn everyone into an order and allow them to create universes in which whatever dreams or desires that they have, create a world where that exists.
And right, but and not just like this is not all contained in one universe. This is a universe for each individual order.
Not just each individual order, but each individual wish that an order makes. Because again, an order can make multiple wishes. So like if you, and this is where it gets really deep and really weird, and this is where AJ is like, no, fuck you, we're not doing this. So you are an order and you decide that you wish that there was a world where, you know, oh, I don't know, your sister wasn't sick and she could go to school with you. So you make that wish and a universe is built where she is not sick. And it is a copy of you and a copy of her, but this is the copy where she's not sick. Then in that world, you're like, oh my God, I wish that she wasn't my sister. A new universe is created, and another copy of you and another copy of her are created. And in this copy and in this universe, you guys are not sibling. And so it goes on and on and on. So you could create an infinite number of universes. And Keiji's exemption to this is like, but they're copies of me. They're not me. So it's not me getting my wish. It's a copy of me getting the wish. Because still in this world, Senna
and
dies.
Who's to say that at that point that's the wish that AG wants?
Right. Okay, that was just the wish that I made that made that AG. And so he is living out a wish that wasn't truly really his own. Like, and so that's the argument that. So they're having like this deep physiological argument while Senna is basically being used to open the gate, because we learn that she opened the gate originally because she was the first order and she was the one who caused the great destruction because she couldn't handle the power of what came through the gate. And the woman that came through the gate was actually God.
Yep.
And God's a lady. Like, oh, that's it. And I throw the papers up in the air and I'm like, this is fuck this shit o'clock now. Now we're going all kinds of stupid.
And as that happens, because this little girl doesn't understand exactly the magnitude of what she has done, her brother, who at this point is now very protective of her and doesn't want to see her feel penalized for wrongdoing, becomes an order himself and wishes to take on all of her sins.
Yep. He takes on all of the responsibility and will bear her sins. So he makes it so that she forgets everything that she did.
Yep.
He takes over
Her order power
was to bend the will of people, of man.
By dominating them.
He takes over that power. He takes over that burden. Completely wipes her memory and his own memory and substitutes a memory of parents that they had and they died. And so this is how, again, Daisy was like, remember I said you misremember things? Well, you did. See, it wasn't your wish. It was Senna's wish. And she went out of control, not you. So she caused the great destruction. And she caused it because of your daddy. Okay.
Your daddy.
So then God comes through the gate. And AJ's yep. like, okay, well, we can't have this. So he tells Daisy. And she's like, look, I gotta go. Like, this is my last thing. And
like, he's like now that she's here, like, I don't need to be here anymore. Like, can you unlock me? You know what? Yeah.
Give me all that power back. He's like, if I have all my power back at its full thing, could I stop her? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe. So once again, we come back to Daisy really being the protagonist here, because she was the one who was like, AG, you're misremembering things. You should remember them the right way. And then the other point that she said was like, I can't wait for the day for you to use your power. So like, she knew that all of that was going to come. It was like she was clairvoyant. Because AG ultimately does defeat God. So man defeats God.
And then becomes God? Sets the world back to normal.
And nope, doesn't become a God. Sets the world back to normal because
people lose their order powers.
No one's in order anymore. So everybody's just normal again. including Senna, who is somehow now cured.
I actually think a part of the cost of what she had done was her sickness.
I think so, too. She was sick before, because he was visiting her in the hospital. But I think as part of his dominance,
he dominated her into being well.
I think that he negated that.
My God. Now, mind you, and I feel really bad about this series, because on Crunchyroll, in terms of, rating, people have rated this, a 2.5 out of 5, which I don't think justifies. I think a lot of people are rating it short
because, one, it really doesn't go into the backstory real deep on how or why they love each other so much. It also is a short series. It is based on a manga, so you can actually read the manga. And the mangas go a lot deeper. But I think that, everyone knew that this was just going to be a one-run show. And so they were going to have to get through the whole story in just the 10 or 12 episodes that they have. And so when you only have that many episodes, you have to rush through a lot of stuff. You don't really get to go deep into the rock god creation. You don't go real deep into, all the reactions of normal people have against various orders that they find, or that hysteria. Genai shows up out of no place. You only get a quick introduction into why Hiroshi, the guy that can negate things, who basically could have, he can negate reality. So he could have negated Senna's illness. He just chose not to. Yeah, because remember, he can negate reality. So he can basically say, this is a falsehood and it didn't exist. That's his power. So he could have...
Oh, that's right, he could do.
Yeah, so he could have negated and just said that Senna's illness is a lie and negate it. And just say, she was never ill. And poof, she would have been fine. And why Eiji never realized this after first seeing his power. I was like, so why didn't you just have him do that? They rushed through a lot of stuff because they only had, this one run to tell the story. Because there's no Big Order second season. There are no orders left. Orders are gone. Powers are gone. God has been defeated. Senna's not sick. She's boning her brother.
Who's not her brother? That's kind of okay. It's kind of okay.
They have the same last name. It's not okay.
They're not related by blood, so he can put his dick in her.
I know, but
and she can like it.
I'm sorry. They're brought up together. Don't put your dick in it. All right, so that. Definitely take a look at Big Order. It's got some really great action scenes in it. It does not shy away from the violence, for sure, in the fights. It is very quick-paced, and ultimately, as you heard us talk about, it has a very interesting and kind of deep story. So I highly recommend it, and I agree with you, Panda. The rating on Crunchyroll is way too low. I would definitely put this one at a solid 3. Just because it's got an intriguing story, but because it only had the one season, I really would have preferred if this had been a 2-season one, so you could have spent more time with the orders that are in there.
You had no real chance to really understand, the ten wishes that they picked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He can bend, she controls light. What was her wish that made it manifest that way?
Right.
They don't touch on any of that. And then there's the one, dreams. She can manipulate dreams a bit. And then they get the girl who could do, who could neutralize nukes, who never wakes up.
Right, and they never use it. They're just we have her, so,
We have her.
Nukes on us now. And that completely goes away. So, again, that's why I can, understand why some people are just nope, this isn't a great anime. But it is a good anime, and I think it's just, it would have been better. I probably would have put it at a 4 if it had been a 2-season one. And they could have spent more time with, how the 10 came together. And, decided that they were going to go after Genai. And why? And, more time with that whole organization. And how and why the guy became a double agent. There's just a lot left on the table. Which I'm sure they go through in the manga, but not in the anime. So I would definitely put this one at a solid 3. You can watch it on Crunchyroll. I have not seen it on Hulu yet, but you can definitely check it out there. I believe that it's also on Funimation. It's another Kadokawa release, and so I always feel every time I review and see an anime that I really like, I look, and like 9 times out of 10, Kadokawa did it. So I'm like, damn, Kadokawa, back at it again with the awesome anime. So check out Big Order. It's on Crunchyroll, streaming now. Whether you have free Crunchyroll or pay Crunchyroll, you can check it out. We highly recommend that you do that. I also highly recommend that you check out our website, electricsisterhood.com. We've got great content on there. I hope that you guys will check it out, share it with your friends, tell people that they need to bookmark our site, come to it. Whether you want to get it through RSS, we've got our feeds on our homepage, so you can grab them, check them out, put them in your favorite feed reader. You can also check out our articles through Apple News. If you have an iOS device, just search for Electric Sisterhood, hit the little plus sign, and that will add us to your For You favorites. So as soon as we put out stuff on the website, which we put out a lot of stuff on the website, we've got great news and reviews set up there. Make sure that you get us in Apple News, on our website, in your feed reader, however you like to consume the informations, do it. We also have our podcast available in iTunes. You can get that through your desktop or through the iOS application Podcasts on your device, whether that's your iPad or your iPhone or your iPod Touch. I don't know what device you have, but as long as you're connected to the internet, you can go to the podcast application and search for Electric Sisterhood and subscribe. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio. You can find us on VogNetwork.com. You can also find us pretty much in Google Play or any podcast search engine on the planet. So if you like what you heard today, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, and that will ensure that the moment we put it out on the web for new consumption, you can consume. You can also engage with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can hit us up on Twitter, @ESHNews, or on Instagram, @ESHNews, and let us know if there's something you want us to check out, if you have a difference of opinion, if you think that there's a game or something that we should review, preview, or see, because you want to hear our thoughts on it, then hit us up on our socials and let us know. Also, feel free, we put out all of our articles as well as some random things that we're putting together on our Facebook page and out on Twitter, so share them with your friends. Like us, follow us, share us, help us reach more people. Let's build this community! And then this is where I would, if I had the soundboard, insert the world star. So, with that, make sure that you check out all the other great sites that are part of our network. B3Crew.com, SmashRook.com, NerdCrave.com, IssuesProgram.com, all kinds of great nerdery throughout all those sites. Please check them out. We love our team. We love the stuff that we do together and the stuff that we do apart. So make sure that you check them all out, including the live recaps shows with Phil the Issues Guy on Phil's Recap and Review of IssuesProgram.com. Every Wednesday, a live stream gameplay with our homie Hamsterman2049 at SmashRook.com. You can check him out on YouTube. He streams his gameplay, and he plays everything. Retro games, current games, you name it. Like, it's, the network is growing, and it is just so cool, and we are so thankful that you guys are a part of this journey with us. So, with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Keep it gamer.